Welcome to the end of year recap for the Podcast Discovery Show. I'm Josh.
I'm Kirk.
And I am Zach.
And this week we're going to be talking to you guys about some of our highlights from the year as a whole of 2019, talking about some of our favorite experiences, some of the favorite shows we discovered, and some of our favorite discussions that we generated from those shows. And really just take a look back at 2019 and some of the highlights of our year.
Yeah, so it was season 3 of the Podcast Discovery Show. We've been doing this for almost 3 years, guys. It's been a long time. Just this year, we put out over 45 episodes just of the PDS, not including Todd's, not including other small extras that we did as well. We've done a lot of content.
Yes, we have.
Yeah.
And we hope that everybody's enjoyed it, and we're going to be putting more content out. In fact, we're going to start doing a little bit more on the video side as well. Since we're already recording, we're going to add some video to it as well so that you can look it up on YouTube. That's the first thing that people ask when I say, you know, I've got a podcast. Like, is it on YouTube?
Because we've posted a YouTube video before.
Yeah, no, we have some videos. We have some subscribers. We have not many, but people that listen to the show on YouTube only, because we have our audio up there, but we just have the logo. But now we're going to have the in the flesh.
Yeah. For the footage. People who want to see what it looks like when we're having.
Hi, guys. We're on YouTube. Hi, YouTube watchers.
This is what it looks like when we are having these conversations.
Looks great, doesn't it?
It's unimpressive.
No, it's very impressive.
I had to put my pants on this time.
That's a fact. He normally records with no pants.
He's saying he has pants on, but I'm pretty sure you can't see his pants anyway. So I'm
true.
Say
I guess
he
I
doesn't.
Can you stand up and give
no.
a twirl?
No.
There you go.
No.
If see? Anybody was curious.
He's not wearing pants.
He is not wearing pants.
So let's start out by talking about what our favorite discoveries for podcasts were this year. So I'll kick it off. One of the podcast that I was most excited about finding, and I've listened to almost every episode already, and my kids actually listened to it with me, is Florida Man on Florida Man. And that was the show that I recommended right before we went on holiday hiatus.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know, there's something about their format. And I know that they keep it somewhat clean, pretty much PG to PG-13, somewhere around there, depending on the Florida Man story, basically. But then they don't just talk about Florida Man stories. They talk about, like, a, most of the time, historical thing that happened in Florida. So, like, they talk about people that settled Florida. You know, they talked about the Nickelodeon Studios. That's the episode we talked about, which now is historic in a way.
It is.
They talk about Walt Disney when he came and, you know, built Disney, my home away from home. And stuff like that. So it's really, it's even more than just the goofy stories of things that happen in Florida. But then they also give their own little flavor of their own lifestyles and things that they've done, which very much parallel some of the really stupid stuff we used to do when we were in high school.
They do seem like kindred spirits.
What was some of y'all's favorite podcasts?
So I think the number one discovery I had for this year was definitely Ologies. It's one of those podcasts when I found it, I was like, okay, this is immediately going on my recommendation list of we got to hit this one soon. And I've listened to a ton of episodes since I recommended it because they always have super interesting, new, exciting topics. And it's really that great cross-section of podcasts for me that has both the comedy aspect to it where it's fun, it's lighthearted, it's enjoyable to listen to, and you're learning something. They do a deep dive with a scientist or an expert in a field every week. Like, you can't beat it.
That's actually phenomenal. On my list, but I wanted everybody to get a little one that they wanted to mention. But that's definitely on my list as one of my favorites. Allie Ward, she's just amazing as a interviewer. She just makes it fun. Like, she really is a really good interviewer, and she's funny. She's just funny. Yeah. Even on Twitter and social media, she's a funny person.
That was definitely one of my first thoughts was Ologies, because every single episode is really fun to listen to. For my favorite one, and it's for this year, you know, so I'll try and stay to that, because there's been a bunch of them that we've discovered since this has been going on that I've every time I hear it.
I mean, I discovered My Brother and Me and the Adventure Zone through this podcast.
Even stuff... I was aware of This American Life, and I had heard the radio show, But hearing the podcast, I have never heard an episode of that show where I was like, oh, that was meh. Mm-hmm. Every single time, it's impressive. So there's a lot of stuff that over the years has been amazing. This year, I don't know if it counts because we didn't like discover it this year, maybe, but we did a revisited Ear Hustle. Yep. I will probably say Ear Hustle because that podcast changed how I thought about things just permanently. Yeah. How I think about the correctional system and how I think about the people inside of it. It was forever changed because of just that show. And it is impressively produced and everything else like that. But
I mean, the story is just amazing. How yeah. the show was made, like how they ended up starting the show, where they're at now, and the main character with Erlon getting out of prison. I mean, the whole story, it's just,
yeah.
we've talked about it ad nauseum. I don't want to, you know, beat that dead horse, but it's such a crazy and amazing story.
It's pretty amazing that they're able to hit that cross section of entertaining and like really enlightening mm-hmm. and kind of worldview changing power in the same show. Because usually you get, okay, this is entertainment, or I'm going to grow from listening to this or watching this or whatever it is or consuming this. Rarely do you get both. Usually you get to choose one or the other. You can watch The Avengers or you can watch like Schindler's List. It's like they're two very different movies. They're both very good different. In their own right.
Are they different?
And this show, I feel like, really hits a good cross-section where you're entertained by it because you're hearing interesting, enlightening things, and there's really great personalities that they bring on the show. But you're also growing.
You're challenged.
And challenged.
It's challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, that'd probably be mine, is sure. Ear Hustle. Every time we talk about it, it's a great one.
Another one I had on my list, and it's just because I binge listened to every single episode as soon as it came out, was Moonrise.
Another great one.
It was a completely different angle to the moon landing, and I loved every episode of that show. I loved how they brought in the influence of science fiction, and that was all throughout. Like, it wasn't just like one episode talked about the science fiction influencing these scientists to go to the moon, but it was throughout, and I just loved that.
I really appreciated that show as well.
I mean, I'm still not convinced we actually went to the moon, so I understand science fiction.
All right, everybody, buckle up. For the next 40 minutes, we're going to discuss the moon landing.
I'm kidding.
So not only did we discover some amazing podcasts, but we had some amazing experiences this year. We've done, I mean, as we talked about things before we started recording, we realized how many more things we did than we even realized. We had so many trips, experiences, people that we met, things that we're able to do because of the podcast. And I wanted to talk about that. What are some of y'all's favorite things that you were able to experience because of the podcast?
For me, I would have to say there's so many. It's hard to pick a favorite, but it's something that's kind of snowballed right now, so I'll probably pick it. Getting to talk to, and I put together the Discovery playlist this year, and I found out that it was 70 different bands I've talked to throughout the show. And recently, I think it was right before the break, I had a band called Mountain Holler as our outro. And meeting him, I ended up being fairly included in a show they had coming up where there was 9 local singer-songwriters. And through that, I met a bunch of them. I went to their meeting and stuff and helped them make a promotional video. And I was introduced to a lot of these people. And I found out a lot about our local music scene on the singer-songwriter side, at least. And it has kind of all snowballed into the new show that's coming up, The Creator's Cove. That's me getting to do what I always wanted to find a way to do, which was find more to talk, mm-hmm. like have an opportunity to talk more about these bands that I'm discovering, because I never wanted to put an extra 20-minute segment at the end of our show, but I felt like it could be there. I felt like there was that opportunity to really explore what their passion is and their process and things like that. And so just getting to stumble into something that I've always been interested in, you know, I love KEXP and Audio Tree and Tiny Desk, and to even be in that world of talking to people who are living out their dream job mm-hmm. and usually it's at a cost. It's because none of these people are famous. Most of them have second jobs, and most of them are doing this only for the passion. Because there's no other reason for them to do it except they care about it and they must do it. And so getting to meet these people as a side effect of doing something that's so fun and has never felt like work to me. And it's just kind of our weekly breakdown of we should get together and relax is a pretty cool thing. So I'd have to say that's probably one of my favorite experiences from 2019.
Yeah. And Zach bought a table at this show with these 9 singer-songwriters. I think it was like a week or two ago, and brought Kirk and I and my wife to this show, and it was phenomenal. They're all just such talented musicians, and the idea for this show was actually really cool.
I've never heard of anything like it, ever.
They basically had an open stage, and they all had their instruments set up on stage so that when any one of the musicians was up doing their set of 3 songs, the other musicians could join in and play backup or play like some extra like lead guitar solos in the middle.
Yeah,
or
like
play
everybody
some percussion.
Everyone knew the set list ahead of time so they could learn, like if they didn't know the song, they could learn it, or you know, it was really cool.
And there were people and singing harmonies.
At no point was there crazy. Somebody that was just like didn't know how to do the song or anything like that. I was kind of expecting at least one little train wreck. They're all professionals. It just all sounded great.
It was phenomenal. So these artists are amazing local Tampa artists. It was really cool to see them all perform live that way. So we get to benefit through osmosis is not the right word.
It's a word. I think I know what you're saying. Proximity.
Proximity. We get to experience some of that awesomeness through proximity to these local artists. So it was really, really phenomenal show.
Yeah, and during our holiday hiatus, Zach was able to put up one of those first episodes of the Creator's Cove onto our feed. Mm-hmm. So check it out and then stay tuned because we'll let you know when his show actually launches. It's still in production, correct?
Yes, but it's coming in January. And it's one of those things where I consider this a spinoff of what we're doing.
Yeah.
Because I think that we like to discover new things. And I think this is a part of that.
And I feel like that's really the brand and our ethos is discovering and bringing to the forefront really cool things because there's so much out there.
Yeah.
You can spend...
There's always more to discover, guys.
And it's not just podcasts. And that's the interesting thing is if you're into music, you can spend 8 hours looking and finding new artists and not even scratch the surface of the amount of artists that are out there. Same thing with movies. Same thing with YouTube channels. Same thing with... literally any segment of media or content that's out there, there's just so much cool, great stuff out there that people don't know exist. And if we can bring that to the forefront and share really interesting, cool creators out there creating great stuff, that's a phenomenal thing.
Yeah. No, I agree. And we've got some big dreams about what we would like our show to turn into and what maybe we want to do in the future. And so stay tuned. We have a lot of things we're going to talk about on that front as well. Because like you said, that's kind of what our passion is, to discover new things, to kind of curate good stuff in all the noise. There's so many things to choose from. If we can help curate or help find people that can curate and find the best of the best in any specific media, then that's something that we want to be able to do.
Yeah.
So one of my favorite experiences this year was by far Podcast Movement. I mean, there was so many experiences kind of wrapped into like 3 days that it's kind of hard to even encapsulate. I got to meet literally like all of my heroes. You know, some people they would want to meet, I don't know, Brad Pitt or some other. I wanted to meet these podcasters that I had been listening to and had devoted hours of my life while I'm by myself or working or something, you know, I'm listening to them for hours a day. And I got to meet, you know, like Glenn Washington from Snap Judgment. I got to meet Erlon Woods from Ear Hustle, which that was impossible when we first started listening to the show because he was in prison.
Yeah, and
unless you went to San Quentin.
Yeah.
Yes.
he was amazing too. That's the thing. It was interesting because they were famous. The people that we were meeting are famous amongst podcasters.
But what's so funny is like so many other podcasters didn't know that.
I
because
you never see them.
Our thing is we listen to podcasts.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the other producers that were there, I'm not knocking on anybody, but I'm saying their thing was to produce podcasts only. And yeah. we consumed them right. as well. So we knew, like, it's Aaron Mankey.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so
we had three interactions with Aaron Mankey.
Yeah. I told him the secret to making guacamole.
Yeah.
That was one of my little highlights.
Put some cream in it.
Yep. You got to put the cream. No, you got to put some sour cream or some mayonnaise. That's the secret.
Now everyone knows the secret that Aaron Mankey knows.
Yep.
Everyone knows Aaron Mankey's secret.
But then I guess the cherry on top, the ultimate experience inside of the podcast movement experience was meeting Cal Fussman. Not only meeting him, not only watching him speak, which was great.
It was amazing.
Not only watching him speak, but then telling him what our show was about. Him being like, that sounds really interesting. Why don't you come to the meet and greet tomorrow and we'll talk a little bit more about it. And Josh was only able to come one afternoon, and he was able to come that afternoon to meet Cal Fussman.
I wasn't even going to go. I was like, I don't want to go. I can't. It's in Orlando. I don't want to do it. It's a lot of time. Like, what am I going to get out of it? But like, Cal Fussman said he wanted to meet all three of us, so you need to be here. I was like, all right, I'll be there.
So everyone knows this already if you've listened to the show, but
it was mind-blowing.
It was so crazy. We talked to him. We told him everything. He's like, you know what, guys? Why don't you come back to my hotel and we'll record something together? And so we went to we drove him to his hotel. Yeah. And it was funny because I realized halfway through the drive there, I'm like, wait, I know from your stories that you used to hitch rides and like, bum at people's houses, like that was part of your story, and we're part of your story now. We were your free Uber to your mm-hmm. your hotel.
We're the Frubers.
The Frubers.
The worst.
That's not a word.
That's the worst portmanteau.
But it was just such an amazing experience. He was such a gracious guy, and it was so cool. We got some free t-shirts. I wanted to wear mine tonight, but I can't find it. I'm very mad at my wife. I think she probably gave it to one of my kids somewhere in their closet. It is in there. But I will find my Sportique shirt and wear it soon.
But yeah, we ended up being on the opening of one of his episodes.
Yeah.
We were on his show. And then, of course, we featured the
whole interview on ours as well.
The thing that really stood out to me about that experience is that he's interviewed Muhammad Ali, Lady Gaga, Mikhail Gorbachev. In the podcast Discovery Show, we are amongst greatness.
The
people that he's interviewed. Being interviewed by someone like that is like, it's such a, we're so out of our league. It's amazing. I love the whole experience.
Does that put us in that league?
Yes.
We have been interviewed by someone who interviewed Kobe Bryant. Right. So
that's my point.
You can put the pieces together.
We were out of our league, but now we're in that league.
So it vis-a-vis. We are as famous as Kobe Bryant.
I am now Mikhail Gorbachev, Kirk is Kobe Bryant, and Zach is Lady Gaga.
Perfect.
So that's how it works, right? He was just such a cool guy. He's very down to earth. He's very just honest and true. And he really, I think he's kind of in a mindset, at least for the podcast movement conference, where he was very much in like, doing this podcast, I can touch a lot of different people's lives.
Yeah.
And I can make a direct impact and improve other people's lives through like very small actions. I can make a big impact on other people's lives. And he's like, I love this. I can do something small and get huge returns on the impact it makes on someone else's life. That's a win-win. That's net positive in the universe on a very good scale.
I think I was more inspired by his talk than anything else at Podcast Movement because
it was
his
amazing.
Talk was the power of podcasts.
Yeah.
And he came from, you know, journalism. And he talked about how like early on in journalism, there was kind of like that, there was the scrappy, you know, you got to make things work and stuff like that. And how podcasts are the Wild West. There are no rules yet. He's like, you have as big a platform as you want to build. There are no rules. There's nothing holding you back except for yourself. And it was just this, I don't know. It was very inspiring, and it kind of, I think, lit a fire under me and Zach about, you know, taking this thing as far as we can.
Yeah, and meeting him was really cool because he's actually, His episode where he was on the Tim Ferriss show was actually the reason we started the podcast Discovery show. Literally, Kirk was like, you should listen to this podcast. And I was like, okay, well, you should listen to this one. And we bounced those back and forth a little bit. And I was like, Kirk, I know you don't like Tim Ferriss's podcast, but you have to listen to this episode. You're going to love it. And he listened to it. He's like, you're absolutely right. This show is amazing. This is awesome. Wait, we should do a podcast about this. And I'm like, what? And he's like, we should do a podcast about sharing great podcasts with other people. I was like, brilliant.
Josh, what was my my first title for this show?
I don't know.
It was the podcast podcast.
Honestly, I don't hate that.
The podcast podcast.
I kind of like it.
But yeah, it was very creative.
I know. Our fans should make a podcast about us called the podcast podcast podcast.
Mm. Yeah, that's Inception right there.
That's where
three levels of Inception.
Everybody wants that to happen.
Yeah. We need a fan podcast. You're not big until you have a fan podcast.
Yeah, and we're essentially Kobe Bryant now. Yeah, so.
Exactly.
No, you're
as Lady Gaga.
I'm Lady Gaga.
I'm Mikhail Gorbachev. And Kirk is Kobe Bryant.
I mean, I would listen to that podcast, honestly, just to hear what they talked about.
The overlap between those three is probably very, very narrow.
Yeah, I would say so. So what was your favorite experience this year, Josh?
I think that the constraints of the podcast where we had to meet every single week, get together, spend time together, hang out, discuss podcasts, get into deep, like very deep political or challenging discussions sometimes. You guys, like our listeners miss it.
Yeah.
They're all of the things that are really challenging and very difficult and politically divisive, we discuss off the air and we have very heated discussions about those things off of the air.
That's true.
Because we don't feel like that needs to be aired out to everyone, but I think we've all grown.
Yeah, we challenge each
from
other.
From challenging each other and having these really challenging conversations. And I think that was really amazing because it's a reoccurring theme when we get together is we'll start talking about a podcast and then we have to have a 30 or 40 minute interlude where we get off on something that can't be aired.
Yeah. And that's the explanation that I have to give my wife about why does it take you 6 hours to record an hour worth of a podcast?
Yeah, there's that. Yeah.
That's why.
So that in general was amazing. And then also we went on a couple of podcast road trips. We did a hunting trip back in February where we recorded a couple of podcasts. And we went on a trip to Nashville to see my brother and me live at the Ryman.
That was such a great trip.
Phenomenal. And it was just, it's great to spend time with close friends and do the podcast. It has allowed us to facilitate that.
Don't eat chicken wings on a road trip. Everyone will get mad at you. I learned.
Yes. Chicken wings are not... Chicken wings are not car appropriate food for a road trip.
Just I learned something, guys. Now, PSA, chicken wings.
And before he gets on his high horse, he also got a liter of Topo Chico within the first 5 minutes of leaving.
We did do that. Me and Kirk both got a liter of Topo Chico.
Which also, not a cool thing to do on a road trip.
Yeah. We did do that. And then
things happen.
But Topo Chico is so good.
Yep.
It's worth it.
No, it's not.
What was it worth it to you?
It was worth the story. I'll say that much. It was worth the story.
I'm not saying Topo Chico is bad. I'm saying getting a liter of drink in the first 10 minutes of a road trip is bad. No, on a road trip, I disagree.
Road trip daddy's got to stay hydrated.
I think everyone should be mostly dehydrated.
Unless you're driving. You got to keep your eyes on the road. Got to keep your focus sharp. Got to stay hydrated. No. Road trip daddy knows.
What better way to stay sharp focused than have to pee real bad?
Yeah.
So, the last thing that I kind of want to hit on before we close out our year-end review is what are some of the favorite discussions that we've been able to have as a podcast, as a group, as friends?
This year, I was thinking about it, and it was goofy, but I just felt like it was fun the whole time we learned things.
Rip it! Rip it and zip it.
I feel like we were able to talk about things and like learn things that were silly, and it was a fun conversation. It was Light the Fright. We were talking about
the
entire backstory of clowns and why they were creepy and all of the pop culture stuff. I don't know. I just thought it was a funny conversation.
It was, because clowns are the worst.
They are.
I don't like clowns.
I find them very unsettling.
They've never bothered me. I mean, scary clowns scare me, but that's the purpose of scary clowns.
A clown and a foot fetish. It is what it is.
Did they say the name for that?
I like how now I can look at the camera.
You can. Yeah, now you can just gem the camera. Just look straight at it and be like, that's not true. So I'll put that in there. I'll go to that cut just for you.
But it's it really is unsettling anytime I'm ever around clowns or see them in media. It's not a good thing.
So I think my favorite discussion that we've had, and it was probably one of the more political discussions that we've had, was the discussion that we had when we talked about This American Life, and they talked about the immigrants that were in, was it a Georgia town? I don't remember what state it was in.
It was in Texas, I think.
It was a southern place.
Yep.
A southern place that these immigrants were kind of being targeted and split up from their families and stuff. And what I liked about the whole discussion is it, just like Ear Hustle, it humanized people that is very easy, especially in our culture right now, to dehumanize.
Yeah. And I like that you use the term people instead of immigrants.
They're people.
Right. They're not immigrants. They're people.
Yeah. So, I mean, just like we've said all along, treat people like people. I mean, it's a very simple concept, but yet it's something that seems to be so difficult for so many people to understand and so many people to grasp and to practice. And it is hard to practice. It is difficult at times to practice.
Yeah.
It's very easy to want to take care of your own, or, you know, no matter how small that your own is, but every person on this earth is another human being that should be valued the same as any other human being.
Yeah, that was a great episode.
Yeah, I think there was some pretty aggressive ranting from my part on that episode, because it really fired me up, and it was very timely.
It was with
the political landscape and the conversations going on at the time, and it's just frustrating that there's a lot of people that have never been around people that have immigrated to the U.S., never been around people that are lower socioeconomic status, and they don't ever have to see it in real life. Mm-hmm. And so they see it in theory, and they hear immigrants. Oh, these immigrants, they're this, they're that, they're this. And they've never experienced or been around or interacted with those people on a human level. So they're dehumanized. And this show hopefully broke down some walls.
Yeah, I mean, them interviewing, it was, I think it was like a, it sounded like a soccer mom. And she's like, I thought it was a good thing that they did, you know, they sent all these immigrants back from the factories and stuff. But then I saw they had like a gathering, and there was like six or seven kids, some like 10 years old, and both of their parents were sent home, and they're literally by themselves, basically.
Yeah.
And she's like, that ain't right, because they're human beings, and now they're by themselves. I mean, literally abandoned by their parents, not by choice.
Yeah,
right.
It was a powerful story.
Like every other amazing episode of This American Life, that is just one of the like four stories on there, and mm-hmm. they are only related by good storytelling. Other than that, that's it.
That was one of those episodes that was very challenging to listen to. Phenomenal storytelling, but it was not a
Yeah.
It was not a fun listen.
It was not.
But
I was at, I remember I mentioned it that episode. I was at the gym when I listened to it the first time, and I cried.
Yeah, no, when
I was crying in public.
Yeah, no, when I listened to it, I was driving, and like I was tearing up, and then I just like boiled over with rage. I was driving, and I was just so mad, like just white hot rage. I was like, this is just so messed up.
Yeah, it just wasn't talking about it. It was firsthand perspective from like children. It was a pretty brutal episode, but it's an amazing episode, and it's just an amazing show. And
another discussion that I personally loved was our discussion on running from cops.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to dive into that one. It's another more heavy discussion.
Yeah,
I think it's really interesting. I think it provides a lot of insight and light into some different things that are going on in society right now. It ties into Ear Hustle and Earl on Woods and our prison system and the police force and everything else. Again, very timely. There's a lot of things going on. I think it was a great discussion. So I thought that one was great. I don't want to dive too much into it, but Spectacular Failures was another one that I thought we had really interesting discussion on, because it really looks at people that had great ideas and mm-hmm. failed because of poor execution, or people that had great ideas that failed because they were too early, or something that just, it wasn't the right time or it wasn't the right environment, and they just didn't have, they were missing one piece and they failed.
Both of these shows were on my like honorable mentions for favorite yeah. discoveries, because like I listened to every episode of Running from Cops. It was so good.
Yeah.
And then Spectacular Failures is a show that I want to come back to immediately, because they talk about so many different, and a lot of them are companies you know, companies you've mm-hmm. heard of, companies you maybe have even used or have, you know, patronized? You've become a patron of?
Sure.
you've shopped
at? You get it.
But yeah, I mean, it's an amazing show, and it talks about, like you said, spectacular failures.
Yeah. And one of the interesting things is, I think there's a statistic, I don't know exactly what it is, but it's something like every, like majority of major businesses or entrepreneurs that start businesses that become super successful, they failed 3 to 5 times
mm-hmm.
before they got something that stuck mm-hmm. and really hit all the buttons to be super successful. And it really highlights that idea of, I think in our current American society, we're very scared of failing and we're very anxious of failing. And we feel like if we fail, we're going to look bad, or people are going to shame us or judge us or this, that, and the other. And I personally believe that failure is the number one way to accelerate your growth and learning and improving who you are as a person.
I feel like you definitely grow more during a failure than you do during a slow success.
Right. If you have slow success, you're not learning but marginally. But if you fail,
you learn a lot
you
fast.
Can learn, you learn very, lot, very, very quickly. Fast. And so a lot of people look at failure and say, oh, I failed and I feel bad about it. But the big switch there is, if you fail and you look at, what did I do wrong? How can I learn from it? How can I improve? How can I never fail the same way again? Mm-hmm. Exponential growth in whatever it is you're trying to do. And I love that there's a podcast highlighting these spectacular failures, because you can see other people doing it, so you don't have to feel the pain of the failure and and go through it yourself, and you can learn from their mistakes. And it's really an amazing idea for a show.
There's something about learning the hard way.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that discussion was phenomenal as well.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. Now, one other thing that I forgot to mention that was kind of a highlight for me this year was, we were able to be on the Pop-Up Film Cast, all three of us separately. maybe to Josh's chagrin, we're on the Pop-Up Film Cast, but that was really fun. That we were able to host on a few different shows, guest host on a few different shows. We met a lot of people, other podcasters. We've made friends with a lot of them, and that's something that I really enjoy about podcasting, is meeting people that are in the space, other creators that are doing the same thing, that are feeling the same struggles, that are maybe a little bit ahead of us, a little bit behind us, and we can help those that are behind us. We can ask for help from those that are ahead of us, and it's something that's beautiful about anything that is a creative medium.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really enjoyed that about
podcasting. Yeah, the community is pretty incredible in podcasting.
It really is. There's a lot of very caring, interesting, just open individuals that are just, they want to have conversations with people that are starting podcasts. It's a very large community, because there's mm-hmm. a ton of people making podcasts. But I think the statistics on people that have stuck with a podcast after, like, what is it, 3 to 6 months?
Yeah.
The drop-off is like 95%.
It's very high.
So there's very few active podcasts, but there's a gazillion podcasts.
Yeah. And in podcasting, it's very easy to isolate yourself and to feel all alone. And that's what I value very much about podcast movement, is because they kind of help facilitate this community mm-hmm. of like, hey, there's other people doing the same thing. Ask questions. Don't be scared.
Yeah.
I actually led I guess they called it an accountability group. It was more like a think tank type thing for people that were trying to make podcasts and stuff like that. And it's been very valuable. I've been able to help people, and people have been able to help me. And it's been beautiful. It's been a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Well, it was a great year.
It was a great year. So we have one recommendation as we close out 2019. But before that, I guess we have a pretty important announcement to make. And I'll let Josh take it away.
Yeah. So it's really bittersweet. It's been an amazing 3 years that we've been doing this. I mean, you guys are some of the closest friends. Actually, let me take that back. You guys are the closest friends I have. We've all had conversations where we are completely open book with each other and non-judgmental, and it's really hard to find friends like that. And I think the podcast really facilitated a lot of that growth of friendship and forced us to be around each other and have tough conversations and allowed us to grow much closer together. And it's been phenomenal. But at this point in my life, it's not something that I can keep up with the commitment of doing a podcast every single week. I've got work, I've got family, I've got all kinds of things coming at me. And you two, you and Zach both have huge plans for 2020. Amazing stuff queued up, a ton of things going on. And at this point, I would just be slowing you guys down. So I think at this point, for me and for you guys, it's best that I step away. And we talked about this before the show, and we all think it makes sense. And it's kind of bittersweet that I'm going to be stepping away. You'll probably still hear from me on guest episodes every once in a while. We're still going to be hanging out. We're still going to be friends, but it's kind of bittersweet that I'm going to be leaving the kind of core podcast discovery crew.
Yep. You're one of the founders.
Yeah.
So, just because he's leaving doesn't mean he's going to be gone. Because like he said, we're still going to be hanging out. And we talked about this before. When we're hanging out, most of the time we're recording. So if he wants to hang out with us, he's going to be on the show with us.
Yep.
But we're not going to have to hold him to the commitment of having to be here every single week like we have to be here. Because we understand life changes. Life. Yep. There are very different priorities. I mean, we both have kids. It's a difficult thing. You have to balance. There's got to be a work-life, social-life balance. And we completely understand.
Yeah.
We've completely enjoyed and in every way are so excited as to what we've been able to do together. And, you know, a fond farewell for now until whenever we see you again. But it will be soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably will be.
I mean, we're related, so... Him quitting the podcast is not going to make him not my brother. So there's that. But also, we do have a lot of stuff planned for next year. We are going to continue improving the show. We're going to keep trying to find ways to make it better every year and better every week if we can. Mm-hmm. And so I hope you guys are excited for it because we are. We're really excited for where all this can go. And I'm just ready for another year of it.
Yep. So season 4 is going to be coming at you soon. We're already got some plans going on for season 4. It may be a little bit of a different format based off of release schedule. That's still up in the air a little bit on how we're going to be releasing them, whether it's going to be weekly or biweekly. There's a discussion of whether or not we're going to do Todd's 1 week and PBS
Todd's is the other week. Discovery show.
Yeah, the other Discovery show. So whether or not we do the other Discovery show 1 week and a podcast Discovery show the next week. So it would basically be a biweekly show, but with a bonus episode between. So that's what we're throwing around right now. It's what we might be leaning towards, especially since we're going to be adding video. It's going to be at least doubling the amount of production that we're going to have to be doing. So hope you bear with us. If you have any, you know, insight or any opinions on that, let us know. We'd love to hear. Also, if you guys want to tell us what your favorite episodes that you discovered because of the Podcast Discovery Show, we'd love to hear it.
Absolutely.
Hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up on the Facebook group. You guys know where to find us. They'll all be in the notes as well. I'd
also love to hear what people's favorite episode of the Podcast Discovery Show was from 2019.
Oh, yeah. We are a podcast, aren't we?
Yeah.
Like, what was your favorite episode that we released this year? Like, what is... what resonates with people.
Yeah, I'd love to know that. So if you had a favorite, let us know.
Yeah, let us know. So that brings us to the first discovery for 2020.
Stripe, The Stories of the White Stripe. Am I doing a final recommendation? Are you guys kicking me out already?
Oh, no, you can do that. No, go for it. What's your recommendation?
Yeah, it's okay. Phenomenal. So there's a podcast called Striped, The Story of the White Stripes. It's a five-part miniseries. I think they're like 30 to 45 minutes each.
So you know I'll be listening to all of them.
Yeah, yeah. In one day.
As many episodes as you want for the actual recommendation. I think episode 2 or 3 is where it gets really exciting.
All right, 2 and 3 is what we're doing. You got to pick some. So that's what
episode
we're doing.
1 through 3.
1 through 3.
Episode 1 through 5.
They're like 30 minutes each.
Okay, 1 through 3 of what is it again?
Striped.
Striped.
The Story of the White Stripes. So White Stripes is one of my all-time favorite bands. Their story is amazing. In the first episode, there's just some amazing stuff. So it's phenomenal. I think you're really going to like it. Zach, doing the kind of music thing, I think you're going to really hear.
Oh, and I like the White Stripes.
Yeah, you're going to hear some interesting stuff about where they came from. And they are very much a like rags to riches story. They came from nothing. And it's phenomenal.
I'm intrigued.
Sounds good.
All right. So until next time, y'all. Go ahead, Josh. Yeah, you do both. Ahead.
And remember, there's always more to discover.
Thank you for listening to the Podcast Discovery Show. We have a few things we'd like to tell you. First, we would love to hear from you on Twitter at the PDS Official or in our Facebook group, the Podcast Discovery Club.
Secondly, leaving a rating or review on iTunes helps tremendously in giving us visibility and also visibility to the podcast that we recommend. You can also check out our Patreon page to get exclusive bloopers, old episode archives, and other exclusive content while supporting the show.
Finally, seriously, get in touch. We'd love to hear from you about what you love about podcasts, and thank you for being a part of all of the things that we do.
This was a podcast from the Podfix Network. You can check out more shows like it at podfixnetwork.com.